I want to preach a little while on redeeming the time. Dale, we've been missing you. Glad you're back safe. Hallelujah. It says redeeming the time because the days are evil. Well, they're evil, all right. Hallelujah. And where did I write that? Yeah. Redeem means to claim, recover, regain, reclaim, cash in, or retrieve. And I thought that's exactly what Kevin's doing right now. He's down there preaching. He's recovering the time. He's retrieving the time that the devil had stole out of his life for all them years that he was out in sin. And now he's hit the ground running. Like Brother Colin says, they hit the ground running. And he's redeeming the time. But I got to thinking today, we need to redeem the time. We really need to redeem the time. Life is eternal today. Its happiest moment is now. Yesterday was an experience, but today is reality. It is everything, and it's life. We've had good services here. We've had good experiences. I'm going to relive a lot tonight if my brother keeps his word and shows up. I mean, man, I've run these aisles with my brother. I got saved right this altar. I was thinking over today when Brother Collins was preaching. I left and went down and pastored at Pioneer Church and worked for Frito-Lay and lived almost 5 years in Kentucky, then hit the road for 3 years. I mean, I've always called this my home church, but I've been gone 8 or 9, even longer than that. We was up at Dryden Road when we first got married because we moved up there closer. And that shouldn't be on the tape, but that was the 4 worst years of my life. I was out of God's will. And I told him behind the pulpit up there, I said, I was out of God's will. 4 hardest years of my life is right here at this church. And but the time's passed, and I can't take back what happened yesterday, and you can't either. We can fret all day long today about what happened yesterday, but all the money in the world can't bring back yesterday. It's gone. But I'm telling you, we got time today to redeem the time and do something for the Lord. I kind of talked to somebody not too long ago, and they said, Brother Mike, they said, now we do this and we do that on Sunday, and some of my own good friends, they get out there and do things that on Sunday that probably to them ain't sin, but to me, I mean, I think we should put aside the days of when we go to church, especially God's day, the Sabbath day, Sunday. But I don't even like to do much on Saturday up towards after 2 o'clock because we got church at night, and I believe we ought to be ready to have church. People will go out shopping after Sunday school on Sunday and spend all day in the Kmart or Walmart or something like that. They'd come to church and look at me and say, boy, we had a dead service tonight. No, we didn't. The fact of the matter is, you was worried because you missed the sale, and the sale was ending on Sunday afternoon, and you had to get down to the sale. We got to take time to redeem time. We've got to take time out for God. I got saved, and God said, leave your friends. I said, I can't do it. I've got no willpower, and I've told this 100 times. But if you're going to make it for God, you're going to have to learn to sacrifice for yourself and be obedient to God. You've got to learn to say no to flesh and yes to God. I said, God, if you'll help me, I'll live for you if I have to walk alone. I had never done that. I always had to have a crowd with me. But I'll tell you what I did to make myself stand. I started redeeming the time. I made myself get back somewhere in a corner and get alone with God. I'm not bragging, but I'd pray sometimes for 4 hours a day. We was over in Indiana, and a preacher told me, said, see that man? He prays 4 hours a day. And I got driving home that night. I thought, well, God spoke to my heart when I read where Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And I added 1 more time to pray before I went to bed. That ain't a whole lot to pray. And I know God knows we're busy. But I was redeeming the time, Brother Dale. Why? Because I was wishy-washy. I was trying to hold on to the world. And God too. And God said, you'll not last. You've got to make a separation. You've got to make your decision. It's either me or the world. It's either heaven or hell. You've got one life. You've got one chance. And you're going to make it if you make your mind up to follow me. Well, I'll tell you what I done. I got alone in the closet of prayer. Dad said I'd lost my mind. Hadn't lost my mind. But I found a friend called Jesus. Brother, I want to pray more than I've ever prayed in my life. The days are evil. I sat right up there in the vocational school in 1979. They brought an article in from a Time magazine talking about the gays in San Francisco. When we talked about the gays, that's what we talked about, the sissies and the queers in San Francisco. We talked about how they wore the earring in their ear. We talked about how, you know, how evil it was. I didn't know, I'd never seen a gay person that I knew of in my life. But now, you got them everywhere you turn, even here on the streets of Hamilton. My brother, who'll be here, Lord willing, a little bit later, was working night shift at Shell. And I would get off on second shift about 2 in the morning, and I'd go by to see him. And we were sitting there drinking a pop, and just me and my brother having a good time talking. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30, here come this lady in that's supposed to be going to work for Ironica. Said it looked like supposed to be a lady, but she wore workman's boots, like construction boots, had on blue jeans and short hair, t-shirt. He said, when she gets up to the cash register, take a deep breath. And I did, and she smelled like men and aftershave. I thought, good Lord, what in the world have we got? How would you like to hug that thing? And I thought, man, what's our world went to? But the days are evil. And if we ever need to pray and seek God. You know, the Lord don't just live up at the campground. The Holy Ghost just don't fall around the altars at the campground. The same God can fall tonight. He can fall in anywhere you call on God, anywhere you redeem the time. You know why they got such close to God? Because they redeemed the time for 1 week and spent time alone with God, the young people, and God honored that. And I'm telling you, God still honors that. When you'll take time out to pray and seek God's face, God will come by and move by His power. And if you know, you got a touch of that Holy Ghost, you prayed and you cried. And I want to be honest with you, young people, you've got the most precious thing, and that is time. You've got time to give to God. Time is God's gift to mortal man. It is that fleeting little span between our birth and heaven's door where we begin God's evermore when our time is over. How then should we our time employ in service or in passing joy? We got a stranger in the house. In service or in passing joy? Can we afford to throw away and squander time in passing play? Oh, men of clay. The Brother Collins talked about revival. We was on our way to Indiana. He said every great Bible school, every great camp meeting has been born in a spirit of revival. I'll tell you what brings revival. It's when men redeem the time. It's when men make their mind up and say the yard can wait. The dishes can wait. Glory to God. Everything else can wait. I've got to redeem the time. I've got to have a God to move one more time. One more time. Psalms 90 and 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I'll tell you what wisdom is. It's to learn to get a hold of God and put God first in your life. It's okay for me to talk about the situation that we talked about. What got me stirred up, young people, I've not only been to the hospital with Brother Collins the last couple weeks, I made a trip to the county jail. Now, I've got a friend down there that's a deputy. He's the highest in his department. He's been on television. He recreates wrecks. He goes all over the place. Teaches classes on how to recreate accidents. The insurance companies use him everywhere. He's put his time in. You know, he didn't do that by accident. He just didn't stumble in, or he put his time in, and they use him on mainly fatalities. He recreates. Well, Ben Kramer is my friend. I've been taken into the jail down through where the deputies go, where they unlock the gate and let you down. I've sat in his office, but I made a trip out to the jail last week to see somebody that used to go to this church. Just every time they decided it was best to fit their schedule, they decided to come to this church, and they would lie, and I think sometimes they really tried to pray through, but they called and wanted somebody to come down and visit them. So I went down and showed them my credentials, my card, that my credentials for being an ordained preacher, and showed them my driver's license for a photo ID. And she said, okay, just stand back by the wall. And they had all these prisoners going to court. And I'd been in the Franklin court where they brought the prisoners out to go to court. And here come all these young men in shackles shuffling along. You think it's fun to play in sin? You don't realize how far it'd take you. Here they come walking in step and having their head down. I remember one boy, he looked so young and he wouldn't lift his eyes up. I thought, oh God, you know what? What has he done to get in here? But you know what? Those courts, they'll take his money, but they're not after his money. The real thing, the way they're going to punish him, they're going to take his precious time. He's going to be punished by taking his precious time. They said, hold on, preacher. We'll get to you in a minute. Here they come in. Then here come a Fairfield man. A Fairfield bailiff after another prisoner. And here they come shoving. I had to wait. And they hollered out there and said, hey, preacher, you're here to see so-and-so. I said, yeah. They said, okay, go to the third floor. I walked up the third floor, and man, it was hot up there. All by myself. And you've seen them in movies or television where they got the glass booth and you got the phone you got to pick up and talk on the phone. I was waiting around. I thought maybe they forgot me. Waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. I thought maybe I should go back down. Then all of a sudden, here comes a light flipped on, and he sat down, started talking to me. He said, I'm reading my Bible now. I said, great. He said, you know what? I'm taking redeeming the time, Brother Mike. I thought, great. I said, maybe that's why God put you in this place. Maybe God stopped you. I said, you know, you've been in some bad situations. The devil would love to have you in a grave right now, trying to put a fear of God in, trying to tell him. I said, look, you've conned people. You've lied to people. People love you. I said, there's people in the church told me when I come to see you, they still love you. We still love you. I love him as much as I love these young people. I pray for him just like I do them young people. And I said, we still miss you, but you've got to quit your conning. You've got to quit your lying. You've got to realize the path you're taking is leading you to hell. And I told him this. I said, if you go to heaven, it's going to be because you make your mind up. If you wind up in hell, it's going to be because of your fault. It's going to be nobody else. It's going to be yours. You're going to make your bed and you're going to lie in it. And you're going to redeem your time, or you're going to reap. That's another thing about time that we can't stop. There's a reaping. He said, Brother Mike, my friend lied on me. I said, oh, did he? I'd already talked to some people. I had some background. And I was catching him in lies right while I was talking to him. And I said, look at me in my face. Quit your stinking lying. Confess up your sins. Turn your life around. I said, we've got people that I preach to in churches that have came out of prison. They made their mind up. They seen where their road was taking them. Before they took one more step, God gave them a roadblock and stopped them. They realized all the time they had wasted. They started redeeming that time, and God's turned their life around. And I said, he can do the same for you. But I said, make your mind up and quit playing games. He said, it's hot in here. I said, what are you talking about? I said, because I was sweating so bad, he just made trying to make conversation. And I said, you mean there's no air conditioning? He said, no. And I said, good. I hope they set to sleep on a rusty bed that pokes them every time they turn. I hope it's so miserable in there that they don't ever want to go back. But he said, Brother Barker, I'm looking at 1 year to 18 months. And I'm sorry, but I can't do nothing about it. I don't know if he was trying to get me to post his bail or what. But brother, it's just like Brother Collins said about some people, that's the best thing for them. Maybe they'll wise up and realize they're going to wind up in hell. And I don't care what you got to go through to make heaven your home. It'll be worth it. You hear me? It'll be worth it. So I visited somebody in jail, and it stirred me up. And I'm telling you, the devil's out there. He's wanting to destroy young people's lives. He's wanting to ruin homes and destroy testimonies and so-called would-be's in God's life, kingdom. You know how it happens? It's when they get bored with church. It's when they get bored with the things of God. Now, I don't want you to cry with me, Jerry. I don't want you to cry with me because I'll cry enough. But I tried to take some of these young people to the zoo. They're bored to death with the zoo. I love the zoo. I look down there and say, that looks like some of the people I know in church. Then I do like me and Mark. We was down in Tennessee, me and Norman, we was looking at the big old black bears, and there was two big bears sitting there on their hind ends eating. Norman said, "There's Mike and Mark." I mean, they was like twins. We got a good picture of that. But they're bored with the zoo. I ain't bored with the zoo. But the thing about it is, this life has got so many flashing bulbs and neon lights and firecrackers popping. Somebody lit off fireworks just the other night. I mean, they've got to have a loud boom or something moving. They cannot stand just coming to church and the Spirit of God. But you know, I can say this. It's been 20 years and I'm not old, Jerry. Don't tell me I'm old. Don't tell me, Brother Sexton, I'm old. But I've been saved 20 years. And I'm telling you, it seems just like yesterday I got saved. I mean, I know they told me it'd be like that. It just seemed like just yesterday. I went today to eat Chinese. And I told a lady, I said, "I've got to pay extra." And she said, "What do you mean?" I said, "One of my children now has to pay adult price." And she said, "They get older, don't they?" I thought, yes, they do. Time don't stop. And it's going on. And we're going to have a service tonight, and we'll never have another one like it. All the money in the world can't buy what we can get tonight. Oh, glory to God. It'll come from heaven. It'll be like honey poured in a soul. But you know how we're going to get it? We're going to get it when people turn over their lives and become honest before God and say, "I'm going to redeem the time." Why are these altars here? It's so people can take time. I was driving down the road with Brother Jimmy Williams. He came to help me work on my truck. The very reason I was working on my own truck and getting guys in the church and my brother-in-law to help me is because I can't afford the time that those mechanics want to charge me, $40 an hour. And I had a busted brake line. And we was doing some other things, putting some other parts on it. And I was driving down the road telling Brother Jimmy, I said, "You know, I've had things in my Christian experience that go bad. I was telling him my bad times. But I told him, I said, for some reason, I didn't turn and run away from God and leave the house of God. I just kept on praying, kept on seeking God. And I look back now, and I can say I've put my time for God, tried to put God first. I've made mistakes, but tried to put God first. And I can say it's been worth it. God has always seen me through, always worked out the situation, always answered the prayer, always came on time. And you know what? I can say it's worth spending our time for God. It's worth it all. It's worth it all. I got some things I want to read you, and I'm going to close. Hallelujah. There's 365 days in the year 2000. Do you realize it's over, half over now? We were so worried, some of us. I thought, "Lord, here we are. We're up in export. If something does happen, we're just in your hands." Everybody else was hoarding food and wanting to stay in a bunker somewhere, wanting to see what happens in Y2K. We was having church. Well, you know what we was doing? We was redeeding the time. We just putting God. I mean, I tell you what, if something bad was going to happen, I'd rather right be in the house of God than be out there alone somewhere. I've always thought, "Lord, if I live to go by the way of the rapture, I'd love to go in the house of God. I'd love just to this service get high tonight and everybody praising the Lord. All of a sudden, just the rapture take place." Glory to God. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't live with eternity in view. Maybe you worry more about tomorrow, what tomorrow's going to bring. But glory to God, I'm wondering about eternity. I've got my sights a little farther down the road. And you know what? I'm going to redeem the day. I'm going to redeem the time. I'm going to make the most of it for God. 8,760 hours God's give us, and 525,600 minutes He's given us in the year 2000 and every year past to do something for God. "We shall give so much in the years to come, but what did we give today? We shall lift the burden and encourage some, but what did we today? We shall comfort hearts and dry the tear. We shall plant a hope in the place of fear. We shall speak the words of love and cheer, but what did we speak today? We shall be so kind in the after a while, but what have we been today? I've tried to make things perfect sometimes and say, God, you know, when I get this situation worked out, this is going to be my prayer time. This is going to be time I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to read this many books. I'm going to visit this many houses. I'm going to go this many revivals. But you know what? Things never get perfect. Sometimes you just got to go even when things aren't perfect. You've got to go when things aren't the best. We shall bring to each lonely life a smile, but what have we brought today? We shall give to truth a grander birth, and to steadfast faith a deeper worth. 'Tis sweet in idle dreams to bask, but here and now do we our task. Yes, this is the things our souls must ask, but what have we done today? What have we done today? I'll tell you what we can do. We can pray. We can draw close to God. We can draw nigh to God. We can redeem the time. There's some things I wanted to talk about, and it's slipping my mind, and it's slipping time anyway. But I'm telling you, we need to realize that the Bible says our life is what? It's but a vapor. It's but a vapor. And my mom just celebrated a birthday, and Dad was questioning me how old I was, and I heard that Mark was coming to church tonight, and I called Dad real quick. I said, come on down to church. Dad, we're all going to be in the house of God tonight. And he said, oh, I'm too tired. But, you know, you just ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. But someday, the time is going to be no more. Someday, we're going to be out of time. Sister Sandra Hurst buried a precious mom today. I mean, time is so short, and life is such a vapor. And it just seems like we turn around, and 20 years is gone. And I wonder where time went. And young people, you've got an opportunity to do something for God, to be something for God. There's some young boys in this church that I was praying for, and not because of me, but others have been praying, but God has called them to preach. And I was telling one this morning, I said, I'm proud of you. At a young age, he's given his life to God. Oh, what can he do for God? You know how he'll do it? He'll do it when he says no to flesh and yes to God the rest of his days, and he'll be somebody for God and a witness for God because he redeems the time. It's not by accident. It's not by accident. It's not by accident you get the Holy Ghost. It's not by accident you get saved. It's not by accident you draw nigh to God. You do those things because you take time, precious time, precious, precious, precious time. It's precious. Ask the guy sitting in the jail. If the judge gets his way, he could lose a year and a half or more of his life. Oh, time. We just don't realize how precious it is until things are gone, things are changed. Well, I love everybody. I appreciate everybody. I got sick first part of this summer, and for the whole month of June, I was sick. And when we was going to the campground, my legs was hurting so bad. I mean, I told my sister I couldn't hardly stand. I'd get to church, I'd prop my legs up. People was looking. I didn't care. I wanted to go to camp meeting. And the doctor told me to be careful. My legs was all swelled. But you know what? Time is healing. I'm doing what the doctor said, and time is healing. I'm getting better. Time does heal wounds. Thank God for that. Time does heal hurts. Thank God for that. But brothers and sisters, the best thing we can ever do with our time, and I've tried things in the world when I was a young Christian. And I looked for happiness, and I couldn't find no happiness. You know what I found, Brother Jerry? I found out this. The best times I've had is when I just go full force for God and put everything I got in for God and redeem God's time and do everything I can. And then I can go to bed satisfied and saying, God, I've done everything I know to do, and I've given it all to you. I got up this morning with my mind on you. I went to my knees in prayer and said, God, help me make it through this day. Help me to make the right decisions. Help me to be a light to somebody. And I could say when the day was over, it's been good to live for God. Glory to God. It is sweeter as the day goes by. It is better and better and better. I was praying the other day, and I thought, God, this just gets gooder and gooder and gooder. And I know
know it's not good English, but I'm telling you, there's places in God I've never been before. But I've read of old preachers that seen visions, that seen angels, that seen miracles and seen revivals, and I've had a taste of that. But glory to God, I'm not satisfied, and I realize there's more of God for every one of us. And I'll tell you how we're going to get it. It's when we redeem the time. Stand to your feet. We're worrying about tomorrow that we don't need to worry about. We're worrying about yesterday's failures that we can't help. We can't do nothing about. They are gone. But you know what one writer said? Any man can fight the battle one day at a time. He said it's when we put those 2 days in the week that we should forget about yesterday and tomorrow, along with today's problems, that we start to break up and we fall apart. You know what God's going to give us grace for? Today. I don't know why it happened, but somebody, Sister Robbins, the Spirit of God come upon her. She said, my face came before. She went to her knees and prayed for me. I don't know why. I wasn't facing anything that I knew about. But you know what I'm thinking? Maybe there was something around the bend that I didn't see, but God did. Dale, it's a miracle every time you come back off the highway. We've ever one that's ever traveled seen the wrecks and the damage and the destruction. It's a miracle every one of us can come to the house of God. And you know why it is? Because we've got God, and God can move on souls, and God can move on saints to pray for us. She had to take time out of her busy day and get on her knees and pray for me. I'm not even her blood relative, but I'm one of her children of God. And I'm thankful for that. I am thankful. You know, people can give you $1 million. But go to some of the people. The Kennedys would give everything they got to get Junior back. Everything they got to get John Junior back. It don't bring him back. It don't bring him back. I'm telling you one thing God's fair about, whether you're poor, whether you're a billionaire, we've got time. And we are equally disputed out time. And it's what we do with our time is what matters. It ain't going to matter one iota how many cars you sold when you get to eternity. It ain't going to matter one bit how many bags of potato chips I sold. But I'll tell you what's going to matter. It's going to matter how I spent my time for God. It's going to matter whether I put God first in my life. Let's go to the altar. Let's talk to God a while. Let's get things back in priority. Let's get things back where they need to be. Oh, God. Glory to God. I'm stirred up, God. Don't let another young people get a life ruined by sin. There's breath in his body in that jailhouse, and as long as there's breath, there's hope. But glory to God, don't go so far. God's got to back you in a corner where you got nowhere else to turn. Oh, God, move.